Welcome to Look Up with Pastor Mike and his wife Linda Sasso of Calvary Chapel of Eagle, a radio ministry designed to assist you in applying God's Word to your everyday life. For the next half hour, Pastor Mike and Linda will encourage you with your walk with Christ and help you look up to Jesus. If you need advice on marriage, life challenges, or relationships, call in now. It's time to look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here's Mike and Linda.
Well, that's right. Here's Mike and Linda. How are you guys today? I hope you guys are having a great day, staying out of the heat. It's a little bit hot the last couple weeks, and thank God for air conditioning.
It's summer.
Yeah. Okay, listen, we're continuing our series in Life-Changing Truth, looking at verses that we have chosen to specifically apply to marriage because, as I've told you before, the Lord's brought before us in the last couple of weeks just different situations where it's come to our attention. You know, people's marriages need help, you know? Mm-hmm. And one of the passions of our life is to help Christian marriages succeed. We know what it's like to have a bad marriage. We know what it's like to have a good marriage. We've gone from marriage hell to marriage heaven. Can I say that? I mean, we've been married 44 years, and over those years, you know, we've seen some rivers and valleys and mountains, and, you know, we've seen the variety in the journey, and we've picked up some things along the way. We've learned some real keys that we'd like to pass along to you. Now, of course, a lot of this is just looking at the scriptures together, because I'll remind you, our thesis for this whole thing is that any marriage could work if you have two people willing to do the right thing. And the right thing is obeying God and following the scriptures. And so we're looking at some verses that will remind you or maybe illuminate you if you didn't know in the first place. You can't be reminded about something you didn't know. We want to make sure that you understand God's rules for good living, God's rules for healthy relationships. You know, God is a God of relationship. You know, we've talked about this a lot. And I remember years ago when the Lord just kind of caused it to dawn on me, you know, is that God is love, and you cannot have love without having a relationship with another person whom you're loving. That's one of the arguments, by the way, I believe for the Trinity, if you want to get theological about it, because if it was just God and there was no Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and if God is love, then he wasn't always love. He was only love once he created someone to love. But I believe in eternity past, there's always been the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and there's been a relationship of love among them, okay? Now, let's take that up to date. If God is a God of love, then everything about God should point to love. When Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He said, love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. He said, love. Love your neighbor as yourself. And upon these two commands rest all of the prophets and the law and the prophets. And so I'm telling you, folks, God is a God of love. So that means if you're his child, if you take on his characteristics and if you're following him, you're going to learn how to love. You're going to learn how to love other people, your neighbor, like I've told you, even your enemy. And if God expects us to love our enemies, then for crying out loud, we certainly should be able to love our spouses. So we're going to focus, and one more time, we're looking at Ephesians chapter 5 right now, and we've been looking at verse 15 through 17, but then we backed up. Okay, let me read it again, verse 15 through 17. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Now, when we continue, we're going to look at some principles of what God's will is for a loving relationship, both in your everyday life, on your job, in the marketplace, in your family, and of course, ultimately, we want to look at marriage. But before we dive into that, I'm going to ask Linda to tell you how you could maybe participate with us. There's several ways that you could join us today on the radio.
Hello, everybody. You want to talk to us live on the radio? We would love it. That number is 208-377-3790. Again, let me give you that number, 208-377-3790. 3790. Just can't handle that thought of talking live on the radio. You can always send us a text message to Calvary Chapel Eagle's phone. And that would be 208-891-2635. If you're out there in Facebook Live land, go ahead, feel free, and leave comments up there. We keep track of those too. Now, when we ended yesterday, we ended in 426. We went all the way back to 425, so we kind of handled getting rid of lying.
Ephesians.
Mm-hmm. Ephesians. And then we went to verse 26. And Mike talked about this quite a bit. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And 27, nor give place to the devil. I wanted to talk more about that because I feel this is one of those scriptures that you want a life changer? Here is your life changer. Start it in your marriage. But this goes to everybody. This works with friends, family, work, church, your church life, everything. Be angry. So there's something that has got you angry. And from the looks of this, it looks like it was okay to be angry. So it was like it wasn't your fault or something. You had a good reason that you're angry. You got a problem. You got something you don't like. It says, do not sin. Now, I think the next line is part of that not sinning. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath or your anger, nor give place to the devil. If you hang on to something, then what happens? When you're angry about something, it doesn't get settled. Does it ever usually get better in your own mind? When you think about it, does it like, oh, I guess I shouldn't be angry anymore. I think that's a really rare thing. I think when we don't deal with something, we just sit on it. It's like a splinter in our finger. It starts to fester. It starts to hurt more instead of less. It becomes bigger than it should be. If we would have just got the splinter out when we got it, then we wouldn't get an infected finger. It wouldn't swell up. It wouldn't hurt. But we don't, and things fester. How much does that happen in our marriages that we give the enemy a foothold because we weren't willing to talk about something? We weren't willing to discuss, I'm a little angry here. I'm a little hurt about something, and discuss it. Yeah, it might lead to a little bit of contention here and there, according to how much you're used to doing this. When you start talking, Mike, about things that do bother you, and you better make sure it's a legitimate thing, okay? First off, you're going to do it in your marriage. It's more difficult at first, isn't it? But then as time goes on and you learn to trust each other, it gets easier, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. It gets easier to deal with it.
I think a key is if I tell you something really irritates me and you don't make any changes, then that speaks, you know. But if I tell you something really bugs me and you do something about it, that speaks loud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, one example was a couple weeks ago. I needed to go to the doctor and I wouldn't go to the doctor. I just didn't have time, didn't want to. And finally, Mike really pressed the point. If you're having a problem, you need to go to the doctor. So I went to urgent care, who immediately sent me over to emergency, who checked me in the hospital overnight. You know what? If he would have just said, you know, go to the doctor, he didn't. He was genuinely concerned. The way he said it hit my heart. And it was like, okay, I got to give in and go to the doctor. Okay. Ended up, no, I was not having a heart attack. I was having massive acid reflux and everything I was doing, thinking treating my heart made it worse. So, stupid thing that I did, pay a high price for it. But you learn to communicate better. But do not sit there and hold on to it. We've had people in the church that have had a problem. And instead of come to us, we're supposed to somehow read their minds and know they have a problem, okay? And we're supposed to go to them. They don't come to us. They don't. I'm sure the problem grows and grows, and then all of a sudden, one day, they're gone. They take their toys and go home because they're mad. And it's like, what? We had no idea what was going on. Don't do that. Don't do that to your spouse. Don't do that to your family. Don't do that to your church. Don't do that to your friends.
If you love somebody, anybody you love.
Yeah, anybody you love, don't do that. Sleeping on things, letting the sun go down on it, and hanging on to that anger, you know, come on. Let's be honest. We don't wake up feeling better in the morning. If we're even able to sleep, we end up, usually we can't sleep because we're up all night fretting about it and mulling it over in our mind and the what if and they should have and this, you know, and we make it worse. We turn that, as they say, molehill into a mountain. We don't want to do that. It only hurts us. You know, now I have a scripture I want to share with you. Where's my history here? Go back to it because I was just there. Now, this is something totally different because sometimes people will use the scripture. Now, yesterday, you guys probably didn't know it, but I had a really, really rough day. I was slapped in the face one more time with our daughter's death, and it just made it rough on me, you know. But, you go to Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. That's what I did. I woke up this morning, and you know what? I was okay. Rough day yesterday, okay today. I just needed to sleep on this one and allow the Lord to minister to me. Those are the things He comes in and heals when there is a hurt in our lives sometimes. But when you're angry about something and that needs to be settled, sleeping on it doesn't make it better. It makes it worse. So please, I love this scripture. I learned this scripture early. I needed to apply it more than I did early in my life, but I think we definitely apply this now, right? So there, that was my sermon for the day. My big concern, I just didn't want to get off the scripture without really pressing the point of how important this is and how much it can change your life and your relationships, all of your relationships.
Right. So don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And here's the thing. This applies to every relationship. If there's a problem and you ignore it, it's bugging you, it's eating at you, and you're hurt. I've learned years ago that hurt ignored turns into hate, okay? But hurt expressed could just be just that. It's hurt. You know, it's like, I was really hurt. You hurt me. This hurt me. And you could weep about it. You could cry about it. Express it. Let it out. It was hurt. And you could express that hurt. And I think there's a relief there, okay, when you express it.
And many times you find out it was a misunderstanding. Many times.
Right, right.
You know, I don't know about you. I don't purposely go out to hurt Mike. He doesn't purposely try to hurt me. Sometimes I can get hurt by something, and then it's a misunderstanding, or he'll realize, oh, that really was a bad choice of words, or something like that, and we're able to fix it right there rather than to let it fester.
Yeah, so what? Another thing I wanted to say is with all relationships, you know, we're talking about marriage right now, but Linda mentioned a moment ago, right now our church is going through some things. I don't know what it is. It's a spiritual warfare, but we find that some people have left because they're hurt about something, and they never spoke to us about it. And so this applies in every relationship, whether it's on the job, whether it's in your family, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in the church. If you're hurt, you're upset, and you just push it down, eventually it's just going to do, it's going to cause death to that relationship. It's funny, years sometimes people will say, oh, we believe in communication. We believe in communication, and they never communicate. You know, it's like, well, that's nice. Then communicate, for crying out loud, okay?
So it's like that canker worm that eats away,
right,
you know?
Right, right. Okay, so what else do we want to talk about here? Be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Oh, something we started to talk about yesterday in verse 27, Ephesians 4:27, nor give place to the devil. Keep in mind that all of these things we're talking about, and particularly how you deal with your hurts, can give the devil an opportunity to do damage in your life and in your relationships. What does Satan do? And in John 10, Jesus says that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so when you, these things here of being angry and yet not sinning and don't let the sun go down on your wrath, and there's more after this verse, they're all, I think Paul is giving you examples of things that could give the devil opportunity in your life to steal, kill, and destroy. He steals, kills, and destroys in church families. He steals, kills, and destroys in relationships. He steals, kills, and destroys in marriage if you're not paying attention to these very things here of be angry and do not sin, don't let the sun go down in your wrath. And now I'm going to skip the don't give place to the devil. And in verse 28 it says, let him who steal no longer, but rather give, let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Now, I think I've told you before that whenever God says don't do something, he usually replaces it, especially in the New Testament. You know, you may not find it in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill, but instead, be nice. You know, actually, in the New Testament, I see this principle over and over again. When we're given a command of something we shouldn't do, God always gives us something to replace it with. And so he says, let him who stole no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands. What is good? That he may have something to give to him who has need. So instead, I love this. Look for it as you read your New Testament. He's saying, instead of taking from somebody, learn to be a worker and work with your hands so that you could give to people. Now, I wanted to go and look at a couple different translations because even when I told you yesterday, let's say verse 27, where it says, don't give the devil a place. In the New Living Translation, it says, anger gives a mighty foothold to the devil. In the NIV, it says, do not give the devil a foothold. In the Holman Christian Standard Bible, it says, don't give the devil an opportunity. And so over and over again, we're told in various different ways, and that's why I really appreciate looking at different translations, we're told that the devil steals, kills, and destroys. That's his job description. But if you don't follow the instructions given to you in the New Testament, the devil will have opportunity to steal, kill, and destroy in your marriage, in your family, in your job, in your church, if you don't practice these things, such as don't let the sun go down in your wrath, okay? Now we're talking about stealing in verse 28. And there's a lot of ways you could steal. I mean, well, I'm not a thief. Well, you know what? I think you could steal time from your spouse, okay? When Linda, I know that she needs my time and attention, if I just go and get busy with my hobbies or other things, I'm stealing from her. So I've got to be sensitive. Does Linda need my time and attention? Now, there's times she's just fine. She's doing her own thing, or she's studying, or she's doing work, or she's playing a game or whatever. There's times I should recognize she's good. We're good, you know. But I think I want to.
When he looks over and I'm crying, that kind of gives a clue.
Yeah, I think that happened the other day when you were really hurting and I'm in the middle of doing something. And I looked over and there's tears rolling down her cheeks. It's like, I think I need to stop what I'm doing. Walk over there and say, hey, hon, what's up? What's going on? And don't, you know, the typical man thing is like, oh, she's crying. Don't want to look. I don't know what to do with that. I remember many of you who are Calvary Chapel people might remember Romaine, who was Chuck Smith's secretary, Chuck Smith's assistant. He always did the dirty work, you know. You didn't want to get into an encounter with Romaine because he was a tough old Marine drill sergeant kind of guy that he would just tell you what for. And I remember one time hearing him, and he was talking about women. He says, oh, I don't know what to do with these women when women cry, where do you put them, you know? And so it's like that was his attitude. But you can't be that way as a husband. When your wife is hurting or crying or expressing a tender vulnerability, then we need to take some time as men and be tender and be kind and Just be sensitive to their needs, okay? So now, I don't know how we got there from verse 28, but let me read that again. verse 28 of Ephesians 4. Stealing time. Yeah, you know, I can really go on those rabbit trails, can't I? But we call it a spirit trail, right? Okay, so let him steal. You know what? Let me look at, I was looking at that in other translations too. That's a good one. The New Living. If you're a thief, stop stealing. Begin using your hands for honest work and then give generously to others in need. See that principle? That instead of doing this, do that. So look for that as you read your New Testament. The NIV says, he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. What a turnaround the Lord does in our life, that he could take someone who was a thief and take them and turn their life around to the point where now, instead of stealing and ripping people off and doing damage, doing the devil's work, stealing, killing, and destroying, now he's working, being productive, and he's giving to somebody in need. You see how the Lord turns our lives around? The Holman Christian Standard Bible says, the thief must no longer steal. Instead, he must do honest work with his own hands so that he has something to share with anyone in need. So listen, folks, if you're in a position where you have a habit in your life that is doing damage to others, God has a remedy for that. He wants to take you and not just make you stop it. You know, it's like, stop it, stop doing that. Well, he will replace that destructive habit with a constructive habit. I really believe that God loves us to have habits, but good habits. He likes to replace our bad habits with good habits. And so think about that. How maybe the things you're struggling with, maybe the things that even friends, people who are close to you are pointing out that you've been doing destructive. Your actions, your words, your habits has been producing destruction. Then you need to seek the Lord. Say, Lord, what's the counter to this? What's the antonym to stealing or whatever it is? Maybe it's your words. And I think that, yeah,
that comes next.
That's the next thing.
The whole thing is the opposite of stealing is to give. And that's where the Lord wants our hearts to be. And you can't be a Robin Hood that you steal from the rich and give to the poor. That's not the way to do it. It may be a cute little story.
Makes
it may sound nice. Make nice movie, you know, and everything. It's the wrong way. Instead of stealing, we need to go out and work for what we give, but not just work to hoard it all to ourselves. We need to have that attitude in our heart to give.
Yeah. Okay, now we are moving on to the words, and it does flow because my mind just went there instantly, and I looked down and realized verse 29 of Ephesians 4 then begins to address our speech. And of course, this fits perfectly in having a healthy, good marriage. But it fits perfectly in any relationship. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. Folks, this is healthy relationship, okay? We're talking, of course, we're trying to point everything to marriage right now in this series, but I'm telling you something. You cannot have a healthy relationship with people if the words coming out of your mouth are destructive and hurtful, an accusation or put down. He says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth.
And this can go right back to what we were just talking about, the anger. That's what happens when you hang on to anger. Mm. All of a sudden, you've got garbage coming out of your mouth. You're talking bad about people that you love. Instead, we got to be careful that what we tell others is necessary for edification, that it blesses the hearer, not taints them or turns them against the other person. Oh, how we can cause preconceived notions in people by giving one negative comment about someone they don't know, and then all of a sudden, oh, they don't like that person either. Oh, help us not to do that. Help us not to. There's the music, so I guess I am going to sign off the show today. Thank you for joining us. We pray you have a blessed day, and we will see you tomorrow.
All right,
you can turn that camera off me.
No.
If you'd like to know more about Calvary Chapel of Eagle, Just go to the website at cceagle.org. Be sure and join Pastor Mike every Saturday at 8 p.m. and on Sundays at 8 a.m. for his radio show, It's All About Jesus. If we ran out of time and you didn't get a chance to call in, you can send your questions to lookup at cceagle.org. And may the Lord richly bless you as you continue to look up to Jesus.
Look full in His wonderful face. I want to grow dim, standing next to You.